Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see all the faces on another long weekend. I don't think there's a country in this world where so many public holidays. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know that it's another long weekend. And then my kids said they don't have school the next day. And I was very surprised. So here you are. It's wonderful that you are here. It's good to be here on a long weekend. Welcome to all the children who are sitting here. Louise sent me a message and she said, remember the kids are going to sit there. I think I have a reputation of perhaps speaking about things that are age restricted. So I said, it's fine, Louise. I will keep it all ages. Not even parental guidance, just all ages. I'll attempt that. So yes, it's wonderful to be here. I just felt as we, when we were worshiping, that God gave a word for someone here that you are doubting. And God says, why do you forget all the altars in your life, everything that I have done for you, every time when I came through for you, and why are you doubting now? Go back and look at your life and see what I have done and trust in me. So I hope that is a word for someone here. And then I have a word that I want to share this morning. And I'm very dependent on the slideshow here. So if I can please have it. Thank you. I want to speak about the way to wisdom. You know, when one prepares for a sermon, which apparently everyone does differently, it's so easy these days with the internet just to find scriptures. I remember before we had that, we had all these books. I'm sure all the preachers here will know it, all these references and all these thick books, and you would need a whole desk to prepare because you would have to put all your books there, and it took hours. And now you just have the internet. You just need your lap. You don't even need a desk or a table anymore, and you can just do a search on a topic or on a specific scripture, and all the references and all the commentaries and everything. And speaking about wisdom, the Bible says so much about it, especially in Proverbs, that it's a bit overwhelming just to find out what to share. But I trust that. I trust that we will hear the Lord this morning and that God will reveal something to us, and it might be a different thing to every one of us, and that you will see God this morning in this word and in this message, remembering that the word of God is the truth, and the truth sets us free, and nothing else sets us free but the truth. So I want to read a scripture, and when Herbie spoke, he said, our currency is money and time, and I love that because I'm going to read the scripture, which I have, I actually preached on the scripture about a year ago, so yeah, in this church. Psalm 90, verse 10 and 12, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. So teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. So according to the word of God, which is the ultimate truth, if you live up until 70, you have lived a full life. May I take the liberty to ask who here are 70 or older? Danny Nancy, jy kan my jou hand opsteek, want jy is baie naby aan 70. Okay, Kumi, Danny Nancy en Albert, the three of them, hey. Okay, and there are two precious people there, all the people. I want to welcome you. You are our special guest this morning, all those who are 70 and older. And I want to tell you that you have lived a full life, and the fact that you are still here is by reason of strength. So you must thank God, because according to the word of God, you are granted another, hopefully, 20 or 30 years by the grace of God. And for those of us who are 40-something, we are over halfway. I am so sorry to break this to you. So I look at myself in the mirror and I go, you are, according to the Bible, over halfway. So these are the middle jaren, which is really scary. But then again, there are people who are 70 and they seem very confident. So we will take courage. But what I want to focus on actually is not all of that. But that the Word of God says, teach us to number our days. Teach us how to live, so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Because we need to live with wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I look back at my life and I look at the around about between the ages of 17 and 21, and I wish I had more wisdom. I wish I did things differently. I wish I could go back and change it. And I'm trusting God that we will be able to teach our children to live with wisdom, which often comes, I suppose, with experiencing failures as well. But I want to speak this morning about the way to wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? Because there are two kinds of wisdoms. It's the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that God brings. And those are two very different kinds of wisdoms. And the Word of God often contradicts the wisdom of this world. And sadly, in our culture, we often follow the wisdom of the world. Let's just recognize that this morning and confess to that. And not the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the Word of God. Because it's harder to follow God than to follow the world and the wisdom of this world. So I want to read the next scripture. And this is like poetry. Who of you enjoy poetry? That's wonderful. I love poetry. So I have a few poems, and I'm hoping to publish it in the next 10 or 20 years. And I don't know if anybody's going to read it. I don't know if anybody will want to buy it. So I will need a sponsor, because I don't know if I will get the money back that I will spend on publishing this book. But I just feel it is on my bucket list. When the day that I die, I wish I could publish those poems. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here. And I love this, because to me this is poetry. And this is Job, which really, you know, when Job speaks, we can listen, because Job knows about suffering. And he speaks about wisdom. Now listen from the book of Job. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight, and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it, and declared it. He established it, and searched it out, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. Isn't this beautiful? this is almost like the word of God is saying, where can you find wisdom? Where are you going to look for it? And I know in my own life, and I'm sure that many of us here can relate to that, we are often desperate for wisdom. I know that sometimes I have things in my life and I go and I speak to people and they encourage me, but they don't answer me. Have you experienced that? You go to an acclaimed counselor. Everybody says, that person can help you. And you are so excited because this person is like your answer. And they definitely encourage you. But they certainly mostly do not have the exact answer. Unless God uses them to convey his wisdom, which he does from time to time. But in the book of Job, it says, where can we find it? And it's all these descriptions of nature. And I see this picture of walking in a not a maze, but like a where there's a lot of greenery and woods, like the night in a forest almost, and the wind and the trees, and looking for wisdom. And then finally it says, but wisdom is found where? In the fear of the Lord. That is where we find wisdom. And that is where we find the specific wisdom that we need for our individual lives. This is also where we find the wisdom that we need as a family, or as a church, or as a country. We find it when we become very humble before the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord has everything to do with humility and with gratitude. When we are humble before God, when we are grateful for the death on the cross and every other gift from above, then we position ourselves to understand that God is to be feared. God is to be feared. And I've often said this, and forgive me if you have heard this, but my children are not afraid of my husband, but they certainly fear him. They fear his authority. They respect him, and they realize this is my friend, but this is not really someone that I can mess with. This is someone that I need to respect because he has authority over me, and because he is a loving and kind father, this is a safe space for them. Because they know his love, they know his protection, but they do fear him much more than they fear me. This is how God created a father and a mother. And it is supposed to be like that. When the mother says, get up, go and brush your teeth, the children are supposed to do it, but often they don't. But it is supposed to be like that when the father says, she said to get up and brush your teeth right now. That they will get up and do it because of the fear of the father. If that father is not loving, it's terrifying and traumatic. But if that father is loving and kind, it is the best kind of authority. And it is the safest place. The safest place that we can know is the fear of the Lord. And it brings wisdom. I want to read a next scripture from Ruth. I want to read from Ruth 1, verse 15 to 17. And I wish I could read the whole book. And if you never read this book, I want to encourage you to read it. It's one of those almost fiction books in the Bible where you feel like you're reading fiction, but it really happened. And the reason why I love this, because let me first read it. And she said, this is Ruth's mother-in-law. So Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And she left Israel because there was a famine. And she wanted to go back because she lost everything that she loved and that was important to her. And her two daughter-in-laws were not Jews. And she said, I'm going to go back. And they were also extremely broken because their husbands died and it was not going well for anyone at that stage. And she said, I'm leaving you. And let's read this from verse 15. And she said, now, sorry, keep on backtracking. And then there was Ruth and there was Orpah. And Orpah said, and Naomi said to them, stay here. Don't come with me. Stay in your home country with the people that you know and the people that you love. And then Ruth refused to leave her mother-in-law. And so Naomi said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, now I'm just going to pause there. We know the scripture because whenever we go to a wedding, I'm sure some people here have been to a wedding yesterday. Anybody here that's been to a wedding yesterday? I know there were men, yesterday there was a couple of weddings. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. This was never said between a man and a woman. It's beautiful that we say this when we get married, but it was never said between a man and a woman. It was said between two women, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Why am I sharing the scripture? Because I believe that Ruth had a heart that yearned after the Almighty God, even though he was not her God, and she received wisdom from God. Because to go with her mother-in-law did not make any sense at all. It made no sense. The wise thing for her in the eyes of the world would be to remain where she is familiar, where her family are, where she grew up, and not return to a country and a people where she doesn't know anyone, where there is no future for her. And with a mother-in-law who is broken and bitter and desperate. That is why Naomi said to her, Ruth, do not come with me. Stay here. Do the sensible thing. But she received wisdom from God. And if you read the rest of Ruth, you will learn how God came through for her. How God blessed her in her life. Because she was looking to God for wisdom. Because she had the fear of the Lord. And she made a covenant with a woman that was broken and down in the dumps and desperate because of a sincere love in her heart. Because I believe she had the fear of the Lord. In her heart. And I want to say this morning that when we seek God, He will give us the wisdom that we need. We see Rahab, when Israel comes to take Jericho, this woman has wisdom beyond anything, beyond anyone else, and she saves a whole family. Why? Because she had the fear of the Lord. She said, you serve a mighty God, and I would rather be for him and with him than against him. So please, can you save me and my family, even though I'm a prostitute, even though I have a reputation, even though I'm a bad sinner of a woman, is there perhaps an opportunity for me to serve this God? And Jesus was born from her lineage. Isn't this powerful? God gives wisdom. I want to read the next scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? I, the Lord, search and examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. You know, the Word of God says, without God, we can do nothing. That means without God, we can do nothing that has eternal value, that bears fruit beyond this life. And I want to say something very boldly this morning. We cannot trust our hearts. Our hearts are sick. It says it there. I'm not saying it. The Word of God is saying it. It is deceitful above all things. You know, I'm not really a fan of romantic movies. I really battle. I don't know. I love a drama with a deep. I like a story that brings out the things in life that is deep and that makes sense. I'm fairly irritated by the romantic movies where love is treated as if it is cheap. And often in those movies, you will hear the following sentence. Just follow your heart. I want to say in this church this morning, do not follow your heart. It is deceitful above all things. I see people who get married and it's exciting. The wedding day is wonderful and the honeymoon hopefully as well. But for some people, it's even the honeymoon is already hard. Then a year or two or three down the line, they say, and I mean, I'm not judging. I also had some battles in marriage. They say, you know, my heart just changed. I spoke to a lady once, and I said, why did you get divorced? Did your husband cheat on you? What happened? She said, my heart just, you know, my heart changed. And I wanted to tell her, yes, because it really is deceitful above all things and sick. So we cannot trust ourselves. Have you tried? There's nothing there to trust. We can trust in the Lord. Because there is a solid foundation. There is a trustworthy foundation. There we can find what is true and solid and real. So 2 or 3 or 15 years down the line, when my heart is not jumping up and down, when my husband enters the room, that is okay because I know my heart is sick. And I can go to God and say, God, please save my marriage. Because I made a covenant. Because I fear you. Because I'm a woman or a man of integrity. The Word of God is my standard. And that is the standard by which I live. And I need wisdom, Lord, because I battle. I battle in this marriage. I battle in this relationship. I battle in the workplace. I battle in the church. I battle, Lord, but you give wisdom.
Can you download, can you impart to me the wisdom that I need? And it comes by hearing the word of God, by studying the word. The word of God is our food. We will starve without it. And you can only be spoon-fed for so long, then you must eat it yourself. And I must eat it for myself. And wisdom will come from the word of God. The word of God says, if you need wisdom, what must you do? You must pray. You must ask. You know, when I was a student, and some of us here, Douglas and Adriana, was a student here with me, and I see some of the faces, yes, yes, and Louise, and you know, we were very, very excited and very, it was an amazing season, and we did a lot of fasting. I don't know about you guys now, but I don't fast as much now as we used to fast then. And I remember thinking at the stage in my life, if I need wisdom, I must fast. So whenever I had a challenging situation, which was often and which is often for most of us, I thought I must fast for 3 days, and I became very hungry. But I have learned that God is kind and loving and patient, and He wants to give me wisdom. But He wants me to ask. Why am I saying this? Because many of us here, and I also really used to battle with this, battle to ask. Why are we not asking? There are many reasons, but one of the huge big reasons is condemnation. Condemnation, which teaches us that I am not worthy to enter into the presence of God. It came to me this morning when the worship started. By the first song, the enemy said to me, "You were not a good mother yesterday. You cannot worship this morning." I was not the best mother yesterday. I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and I didn't. I sat with earphones in my ears on the laptop because I needed some space. And I am convicted because I know that I should have been a better mother yesterday. But there is no condemnation for me this morning when I want to worship my God, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I had to go on my knees and tell the enemy to get behind me so that I can worship my God freely and boldly, and so that I can ask Him for the wisdom that I need. And I am praying this morning that by the end of this service, by the end of this celebration, we will be able to ask God. Because He wants us to ask. Why? Because He wants relationship with us. If it was not a relationship, we could just receive. You know how many children there are? I see it where my children go to school, and it saddens me. They have everything that a child's heart can desire. Everything. The most expensive smartphones. They have watches that can do anything under the sun. They have brand names for everything that they wear. But they don't have relationship with their parents. And it really is all that they want. It is all that they crave. And our children ask us for all kinds of things that we cannot afford all the time because they are surrounded with wealth in their school. And we tell them, we cannot give you this, that, and the other, but we can give you love. We can give you relationship. We can give you eye contact and FaceTime and a meal around the table where we look each other in the eye and we talk and we share. Because it is relationship. And God says, I want you to draw near and I want you to ask, and you can ask anything of me. Anything. I might say yes, I might say no, I might be quiet. Whatever my response is, it is for your best interest. Let's read the next scripture. Song of Solomon 2, verse 10. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Song of Solomon is the most beautiful book in the Word of God. I remember, I know I told this before, but it is funny. I remember when I went to the hostel when I was 8 years old. I used to go home weekends, but Monday to Friday I was in this boarding school. And me and the other eight-year-olds would take the Bible, because everybody told us it's very good to read your Bible. And when it was light out at about 8 o'clock, we would take a torch and we would read the Song of Solomon. And it was very, very, very naughty, but very exhilarating, because, you know, you do something that you're probably supposed not to do, but everybody told you to read the Bible, and we are reading the Bible. So I started with Song of Solomon when I was 8, and I still love the book. And we see here that the bridegroom says to his bride, rise up and come away with me. And I want to speak about that kind of intimacy with the Lord. And I know that it is a challenging concept. I know that sometimes we sit and we cry and we are devastated because something happened. We are going through something. And all we are saying is, God, why can you not manifest in the flesh? Why can I not see you? Why do you seem so distant? But yet I want to say that it is the desire of God's heart that He will be our first stop. That He will be our most important and primary person that we go to with the matters of our heart. And I don't know how you do it, but I go into my room and I close the door. And it's a privilege if you have a room, a house and a room where you can close the door. And I go on my knees and it is just me and God. And I pour out my heart. I tell Him everything. And without that, I am not able to do what I have to do. I find Him in that place of intimacy. I find Him in a way that I cannot find peace by doing anything else. And He says, I want you to come away. I want you to share your heart with me first and foremost, and I will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And sometimes it is a wrestle. I know that. Sometimes we need to wrestle with God, and I preached about that often here in this church. But even when we are wrestling with God, it is intimacy like between a husband and a wife. I haven't had intimacy with anybody else in my life like I've had with my husband. But I also haven't wrestled with anybody in my life like I have wrestled with my husband. because it is the closest relationship and it has many aspects. And I want to say intimacy with God is very much comparable to intimacy in a marriage. There are many different aspects, but you cannot walk away from it. You have to press in. You have to remain. You have to work at it, and you will find a peace that surpasses all understanding, and you will find a strength that is nowhere else to be found. I'm almost finished. I want to read the next scripture. Luke 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I believe that Mary was a woman filled with wisdom. Mary must have had a real fear of the Lord. If you are being told out of the blue that you are going to fall pregnant and you've never been with a man and you are not married yet, most of us would say no. When God said to Moses, "I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to speak to him," Moses said, "No, I cannot. I cannot do that. That is too hard." But see, God's grace was enough for that. But Mary just said, "How can this be?" But then immediately she said, "Yes. Yes." And then there was a prophecy. They were with the baby Jesus in the temple. And the prophet said, "And a sword shall pierce your own heart." He said to her, "Mary, you will go through severe suffering. You were chosen for this thing. And you need to wear it, this calling, you need to wear it, you need to walk with it, with grace and with wisdom." I believe that God, you know, the word of God says his eyes are going to and fro. I believe that God's eyes are going to and fro, and he's looking for those who will say, "Let it be unto me according to your word, Lord." Before Anton and I got married, I actually still have 15 minutes. If anybody was judging me, I still have 15 minutes. I remember before Anton and I got married, this is a spectacular story. There are only few of these testimonies that one person has in their lifetime. For most of us, I know this is spectacular. It really is the truth. Before Anton and I were even engaged, but we knew that we were going to get engaged and married, he came to me and he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "We are going to have 5 children, 3 boys and 2 girls, and this will be their names." And he gave 5 names. And I was not sure. I wasn't sure, but I said, okay, we shall see. And then we had the 5 children, 3 boys and 2 girls. And I don't know if this is something that should be shared from the pulpit, but you know they edit these things. So if it shouldn't be something, then they will just edit it out and it will remain with us. But I was using contraception at a stage, which I do not necessarily agree with anymore, but that's a whole different story. But 2 of those pregnancies happened on good contraception. Because God said, 5 children, 3 boys, and 2 girls. And I remember suffering from time to time while trying to get all these babies to potty train and eat and you know, just chaos, absolute chaos. In the span of 7 years, the 5 were born. And it was absolute chaos at some few years of just, yeah, chaos. And I'm not the only one. There are more people with 5 or 6 or 7 children, and they probably have had the same experience. And I remember asking God, God, was this really you? Because I'm not sure if I can do this. And then the Holy Spirit would nudge me to keep on saying, but let it be unto me according to your word. And the five children was God's word to us. God probably knew that I would need a word to be able to not lose my mind or hurt someone in the process somewhere. You know, sleep deprivation can do nasty things to you. God is looking for people who will simply say, let it be unto me, Lord, according to your word. And what is the word of God over your life? I don't know, but I know this. If you seek him, you shall find him. And you shall find the word over your life, and it will not be clear, and you will not know exactly, but you will slowly progress, move forward every single day, one day at a time, into this direction that God is taking you. And it will be a journey of learning humility and servanthood and dying to self. When I was a child and people asked me, what do you want to become one day? I said, famous. It's ridiculous. You know, and then I had these prophecies when I was a student. You will preach to thousands and thousands and thousands. And I'm in the middle of my life now, as I told you in the introduction. I'm in my midlife. And I'm saying, God, so when are the thousands upon thousands? When is it going to happen? And is it ever going to happen? And God says to me, I am not asking from you to be famous or important. That is never going to work with me. I'm asking from you humility and servanthood. I'm asking you to raise these children well and to serve in your local church. And to take every day and live it as if for me, unto my glory. This is the only thing that I'm asking from you. Don't you worry about the journey. It's not your problem. I think I have one or two more scriptures. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We should not fear. We should take courage. Because God will give us the wisdom that we need. I went to see Albert and Tani Nancy this week. I go from time to time and then I share all my problems with them. They listen to me, they encourage me, and they pray for me, because to me they are parents, like parents. And you know, I said to them, I have X, Y, and Z that I need to discuss with you now, but there most probably is no answer. So if you can just encourage me, I will be very grateful. And, you know, I left their house and I drove back and I said, God, I am sorry. How could I doubt your wisdom, Lord? Because God has an answer for every challenge and every problem. And it is our responsibility to seek him for that answer. And it will probably not come at once. It will unfold as we journey with him. It will unfold like a flower. And one day you will look back and you will realize the wisdom that God gives prevails. And it carried me through. What do you need for this wisdom? Do you need to be without sin? No. We are all still sinning, unfortunately. You need to have the fear of God in your life. This is what you need. Do you need to fast? Yes, sometimes, from time to time. Do you need to go up to the mountain and sit and wait? No, yes, that might be a good thing. But you need, and I need, to ask God. And how do we position ourselves for this asking? You know, when Esther had to save the Jews, she had to approach the king, which was also her husband. Imagine that. She was never allowed to approach her husband. Ladies, imagine that. She could only approach, and if she approached him without him inviting her, he had to hold out his scepter to her. And then only could she speak. He could have her killed if he was irritated and he didn't like her and she approached him without him inviting her. But there was a protocol. There was a certain condition for asking. I want to speak about the condition, the protocol with God for asking. It is the fear of the Lord. We position ourselves in that humble place of fearing God, and then we ask, and He will give us wisdom because He wants to. Because He wants to. Because He wants to. He wants us to live our lives well. Let me read the last scripture. Joshua 14, verse 9. So Moses swore an oath to me on that day, saying, be assured that the land on which your foot has walked will be an inheritance to you and to your children always, because you have followed the Lord my God completely. Isn't that beautiful? I desire to stand before God one day, and I want Him to say, I'm asking God, can you please say this one day? I want Him to say, you have followed me completely. We have this pastor, Rick Russo. Do any of you know him? He spoke at two or three of our convergence conferences. He has this thing. He says, look, it's messy. Look, it's messy. He speaks about how their church reaches out to the orphans and the prostitutes and everything that they do in their communities. He speaks about how they reach out to their neighbors. And then he would say, look, it's messy. I want to say this morning, look, it's messy. So God is not going to say, you followed me perfectly. He's not going to say that. He's not going to say, you followed me sinlessly. He's going to say, you follow me completely. You fell and you got up. You stumbled and you cried. You couldn't face the day. You couldn't get out of bed. You even tried to commit suicide. But then you chose to trust me. You chose to look to me. You chose to ask me. You chose to fear me. And that morning, when you couldn't get out of bed, when you were too depressed, too broken, too whatever, and you cried out to me, in that moment, you followed me completely. And he says, wherever your foot shall tread, you will have an inheritance. I want to end off by saying, the wisdom that God gives you for your life is not just for you. It is for your inheritance. It is where your feet are treading. In the workplace, in the neighbor's house, wherever you are living and working, may you leave a trace of wisdom. May you be that tree that people can pick the fruit from. from and eat the fruit of wisdom, and may it be your inheritance one day when you stand before Jesus. May there be many, many people who says, because of her, because of him, I am here today in the kingdom of God eternally. Because of your prayers, because of your influence, because of the wisdom from God that you spoke into my heart, because of your prayers, I am here today eternally with the Lord. God is saying, I want you to be the salt and the light wherever your foot shall tread. Even when it is messy, even when it is not perfect. But I am asking from you to fear me. That is the way to wisdom. Can we close our eyes? Can we stand? Lord, as a group of believers, Lord, fellowshipping together in your house, in your name, Lord, we stand before you this morning with nothing, Lord. We have nothing to offer you, Lord. There's nothing that we can give that will ever, ever be good enough for you, Lord. Because you are God, but yet you came to us. You became one of us. You became a servant to us. You gave your life in the cruelest, hardest, most shameful way for us to live. So God, we thank you for this gift. And God, we thank you that your word is true and that your word says, if you need wisdom, ask. Start by fearing the Lord and you will receive wisdom. Lord, this morning we want to say we believe you. We believe your word. We trust you, Lord. We trust in your word, Lord. We trust in your wisdom, Lord. We know that you know. We know that you see further than we can ever see. We know that you know the future, that you know the past, that you know the here and the now, the present. We know, God, that you know. And Lord, we choose to place our lives in your hands, Lord. Because you are not just capable, you are perfect. You are perfect, Lord. I want to extend an invitation this morning and I want to encourage you to take this opportunity. We all need wisdom. Very aware of that. But if you are here this morning and you need wisdom for a specific situation in your life, for a specific wrestle, for a brokenness, for a difficulty, for a mountain that you feel you have to climb, won't you come to the front, please? And I'm going to ask the small group leaders and the altar call ministers to come to the front as well. And I'm going to ask you not to pray for these people in Afrikaans or English or Xhosa, but just pray in tongues. Just put your hands on them and just pray for them that they will receive the wisdom that God gives. And those who are coming to the front, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord. If you ask, you will receive. To ask the Lord for the wisdom that you need. And these people that are laying their hands on you, they are just going to pray with you and trust God with you and come alongside for the wisdom that you need. I want to extend a second invitation. I believe there are some of us here that know that we moved out of that safe place where we fear God more than anything else. Perhaps we rebelled against God in our hearts. Perhaps we try to turn our back on Him because we don't think that He's trustworthy. Perhaps we feel that He has failed us. And I want to extend an invitation. If you want to just come and once again tell the Lord, God, I fear You. I know just like a good father protects his children, the authority that He has over His children. I know in the same way, God, You have that protection for me. You have that authority over me. And if you need to come back to that place of fearing God again, I want to invite you to come to the front. God is gracious. God restores. God makes new. I want to extend another invitation. If you are here this morning and you do not have a relationship with the Lord, you don't have intimacy with Him, you don't ever wrestle with Him, you don't know if you are sure that you know Him, you are not sure if you are a child of God, I want you to come to the front and we will pray with you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.